أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وحسنت الأوصاف عن كره معرفته، وردعت عظمة العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البترول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأحبها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Every attribute of our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم is عظيم and great, but the only thing which Allah has mentioned, the only attribute that Allah has mentioned about him with the sifat and adjective of azim and great in Quran, is the morals of the Holy Prophet. And in these days and nights we are celebrating the birth anniversary of the Holy Prophet, and I'd like to talk a little bit about his great morals and attributes. The Prophet was, as a matter of fact, the most perfect and the most handsome, nice looking and balanced person in the entire history. And the face of the Holy Prophet, starting from his appearance, it has been narrated that his face was glittering with the noor, more illuminating than the full moon. And his eyes has the azamat and greatness. And people who used to have a look towards the Prophet, all of them used to feel mahaba, means the haybat and majesty. This is something which is common with all the Prophet and all the Ahl Bayt alayhim salam. And his appearance was narrated to be such that having a broad forehead with the eyebrows that were pointed and a long and pointed nose, and his teeth were separated from each other and very shiny and brilliant white. And his chest and shoulders were very broad. His chest and stomach was in the same line. That means basically didn't have his stomach bulging out. And his bones and joints of the bones were narrated to be thick and broad, which is another sign of shaja'at and strength. And from his chest there was a line narrated in the history, a silver line which is specific to the Prophet. And his hair never exceeded the lobes of the ear in the length, never went down further than the lobes of the ear. If it went down, he used to part the hair into two sides. Also, when he used to walk, never used to drag the feet over the ground, which is considered to be a sign of arrogance and takabbur. Instead, he used to lift his foot for every step. Also, the way of walking and the style of walking was a very dignified way of walk with the anni and wiqar, in a dignified way. When he used to look towards somebody, and we are coming to how he used to talk very soon, inshallah. But when he used to look at somebody, he didn't used to look from the sides, which is not respectful. Instead, he used to turn his whole face, his own self, his body, his chest, his face, his front of his face, front of his body, towards that person. This is how it is narrated. This is the way you are paying respect to the person when you're talking to someone, instead of looking at like this, you know, and talking to a person, which is disrespectful. It's not as respectful, if not disrespectful. And also it is narrated that a lot of times, most of the times, he was looking towards the earth. And always he used to take a lead over others in saying the salam, even towards the children. So basically, whenever he used to see somebody, an adult or a child, doesn't matter, Prophet was always the first to initiate the salam. Salam has 70 thawab and ajr, hasanat, rewards. 69 thawab goes to the person who initiates the salam. And one juz, one part of the reward is the one for, is for the one who replies back. This is another common example. If you remember, we were talking about a few days back that lots of mustahab things in Islam have, there are a lot of mustahab things in Islam which have more thawab than the wajib things. Isn't it right? So, al-salamu tatawwu wa raddu fariba. That means saying salam is tatawwu, it's a voluntary act, it's mustahab and recommended. It's not wajib to initiate the salam on somebody. Isn't it right? It's mustahab. But wa raddu fariba. That means replying back to the salam of a person is a fariba and duty, it's wajib. So, this is another example of the same thing that we were talking about a while ago. So, salam was mustahab, saying salam. You get 69 parts of the sawab, and replying back was wajib, you only get one. So that's another example of a mustahab having way more thawab, several, you know, tens of times of more thawab than a wajib. So this is one thing. So he always used to take a lead in saying the salam on others. And it is narrated that Prophet was always in thinking, tafakkur, thoughts. At-tafakkur fi amri Allah. Isn't it right? Fikru sa'atin afdal min ibadati salam. Some of the narrations I read that fikru sa'atin or tafakkur sa'atin wa tardid minni. Fikru sa'atin afdal min ibadati sab'ina salam. Thinking for a while is superior, that's the Madmun Riwayat, superior than 70 years of worship. So thinking is a very big worship of Allah. If you do it qurbatan ila Allah, you think about the umur and affairs of Allah, it opens up the horizons, it cleanses a person from lots of wrongs and faults and harams, engages the person away from the people towards his own self, towards our own purification. And plus, corrects when our thinking is correct, because see, every sin that a person performs, step number one is the bad thought. That's how it starts. You make a plan. If you end up doing something without a plan, you never do it like this. You know, that's not the way the sin happens. There's a plan taking place in the mind. A person makes up a plan, and then he executes the plan. So if the thinking process is corrected and pure, then we won't end up doing the sins. So most of the times it's narrated by our scholars, most of the time Prophet was in tafakkur. And he was never without doing something. So free time is not that you find in the life of the Prophet. There was no free time. Every time he was mashhool and engaged in something. And sparingly talking to people, talking less, unless it's needed to talk. And obviously, he's the most expected person to talk because he's the one who's supposed to guide. But otherwise, when it's not the place of, of providing any guidance, you find Prophet was not there to talk, unnecessarily. Never used to cut off the talk of the people. This is what actually, in the real sense, I'm advising to my own self. I never used to cut off the talk of the people. And unless and until if a person is telling batil and falsehood, obviously in that case you have to cut off. You cannot let the batil, like this. So in his way of talking, he was never harsh, he was soft, never used to consider any person to be hakir and lowly. This is another thing, It had happened. Our Prophet had the ilmul ghaib. Obviously, he's the most superior. But for sinners like me, and regular people, we don't know the batin and hidden reality of the people around us. Isn't it right? Our job is to never consider anyone to be lowly or haqir or inferior than us. Some of the times it happens in our life, you see, you if you end up doing tahqeer, considering somebody to be inferior, and later on you discover that he was a very, very good person, better than me. A lot of times it may be possible to happen. So, لَا تُحَقِّرَنَّ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَإِنَّ صَغِيرَهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَبِيرٌ. The hadith says that don't consider any one of the Muslims to be inferior, because the small one among them is in the eyes of Allah big. Smallest ni'mat of Allah, the Prophet used to consider the smallest of the ni'mats and blessings of Allah to be big. Basically, never used to consider any ni'mat to be small, unworthy. Isn't it right? Some of the times we ignore the benefits of some of those blessings, or never used to condemn any ni'mat of Allah. And never used to appreciate about the foods and the drinks. This is not the culture that we promote in our Islamic societies, talking about, you know, various types of foods and drinks and appreciating those. That's not part of the Sunnah of the Prophet. Losing the umur dunya, losing anything related to this temporary world, never used to make the Prophet in ghadab or anger. That means if anything of the umur dunya is lost, he was never upset about it. So things of dunya should not make us feel upset if we lose them. Things related to my akhirat, if I lose those, I have to be upset. Very big lesson from his life. So we find, and speaking to everyone in a soft way, except when it comes to Allah, he used to become so angry that no one recognized him. He's the same messenger, he's the same prophet, who's that much upset? So when it comes to Allah, Prophet was very upset. People could not even recognize he's the same person. He was that much upset when it comes to Allah. When he used to do ishara, indicating towards somebody, he didn't used to do ishara with his eyebrows or his eyes. Again, this is not respectful, or not as respectful. Instead, he used to do the ishara with his hand. That's another sunnah of the Prophet. And when he used to become happy over something, he used to shut his eyes and did not used to express a lot of happiness. Farah, becoming mafroor and masroor, and there are some people who start rejoicing, they burst open their happiness. Isn't it right? It's never found in the sunnah of the Prophet. Used to shut his eyes and did not rejoice over the izhar and expressing the happiness. And also it says that most of the times when he was smiling, at the time of Lof, he was smiling. Very few times his teeth became visible. So basically, obviously, when you smile, usually your teeth are not visible. When you laugh, your teeth are visible. So most of the times, it was his smile only. Treating everyone according to his ilm and fadilat. Anyone who interacts with him, Prophet is dealing with everyone according to the level of knowledge and level of fadilat and spiritual higher attributes that the person enjoys. According to the ilm and fadilat, in Islam, the fadail and superiority depends on ilm. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Isn't it right? And the second reason for superiority and fadilat is taqwa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, Quran says. The third reason for superiority is jihad fi sabilillah. فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Isn't it right? So we have ilm and taqwa and jihad and iman. That makes a person, the higher your daraja of iman, your daraja of ilm, your daraja of taqwa, your daraja of jihad. These are the four reasons that make you superior. So Prophet used to deal with people according to that. And when it comes to dealing with the people, the person who is more caring, considerate towards the Ummatul Muslimah and Mujtama, Islamic society, Prophet used to give importance to that person who is more caring, more considerate towards the Islamic society and Islamic Ummah and the community, the Mujtama. Look at how much Islam has importance towards the social and political matters of our life. How much important, more than infiradi and individual duties of Islam. And a lot of times Prophet used to say to his people who are present there in his gathering, tell this to those who are not present. This is how he also says in the khutbah of Ghadir as well, after delivering the khutbah of Ghadir of Qum, he says, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدِ الْغَائِبِ. That means the one who is present should inform the one who is absent. 120,000 ashab are present. Obviously, they're going to go back to their homes to meet their friends, wives, children, everyone else. They need to tell others. So a lot of times, Prophet used to say to the people present in his gathering, tell it to those who are not here. And he used to say, inform me about the hajat and need of the person inform me about his hajat. Sometimes people are living in some remote places or they are in certain situations which does not allow them to travel or to come to the Prophet and tell their need. The Prophet used to ask the people, tell me about the need of those who are unable to bring their need to me. So these are seemingly very small things, but they're very important in the eyes of Allah. These are all things that compose the akhlaq of the Prophet. Combined together, they are constituting the akhlaq of the Prophet. Obviously, there's much, much more. We cannot talk about all, but we are just talking about a little bit of those things. If someone makes a mistake in the talk, Prophet didn't used to do mu'akhaza, holding accountable. When ashab and companions used to enter his gathering, they were so much thirsty of knowledge and hikmat and ilm and wisdom, that they were not ready to leave that gathering. They wished to continue and didn't want to get separated from the Prophet. That much magnetism, like Miqnatis, magnetism in his personality, his departing ilm and hikmat, everyone is attracted. Nobody wants to leave him. This is the halawatul kalam, this is sweetness of his talk and ilm and knowledge. He was careful from the shar and evil of the people. Being careful is something else. You have to be muhtat and careful so you don't receive the shar. A whole bunch of different kinds of people around the Holy Prophet. There are mulhid, zindiq, mushrikeen, yahud al-nasara, munafiqeen, mu'mineen. Every kind of people are present, isn't it right? They used to come easily, walk in without appointment, walk in into the Masjid al-Nabi, isn't it right? Meet with the Prophet, or at the marketplace, or on the streets. Every kind of people are there. So Prophet was careful from the evil and shar of the people. But he didn't used to repel them. Being careful is something else, but repelling and rejecting them is something else. He didn't used to repel those people, and he used to deal with them with good morals, with all of them. he used to inquire about his ashab and people, like asking people, where is that person? Where is that person? That's how he used to be, inquiring about people. You know, if somebody didn't show up, some prophet is inquiring about him. This is not just that simple, but obviously this part of his hidayat, his guidance process that he is following. Because obviously, if people get disconnected from the messenger, they are very likely to end up becoming ghafil and inclining towards the batil. Isn't it right? The person who is the guide cannot tolerate his community, his people, to get disconnected or become ghafil or to get inclined towards the batil. It's through him that they are receiving the adl and the justice. Just like this, that person, if you remember this, one of the leaders of Khawarij, Hurkus bin Zuhair, Zusadiyah, that's how he was called in the history. So he, when Prophet was distributing the Baytul Mal after one of those occasions, this person, who later on became one of the leaders of Khawarij, he said to the Prophet, I'dil, do justice. And Prophet replied, isn't that insult? That you come up and say to the Prophet, do justice? Who are you to teach the Prophet? Prophet replied back to him, وَيْحَكَ إِنْ لَا أَعْدِلْ فَمَنْ يَعْدِلْ. Woe to you, if I don't do justice, who would do justice? That means the whole universe learns the meaning and the practice of justice from the Prophet. Everyone learns justice from him. What else? Who else learns the justice? Every good deed done by any human of any earlier or later generation, including all the prophets, all the messengers, all their deputies, all the salihin and siddiqin and shuhada and muttaqin, all the humanity and all the angels, everyone learned the goodness and khairat from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is the muallim of the entire kainat wa thabitat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Everyone learned from him. He is the anurul awwal. He is the one who is wasitatul faiz for every mawjood in existence. So no one does any good deed except that the root of the deed goes back to the Prophet. You know, he learned from his father. Okay, where did his father learn from? From some book. Where does that book come from? From some nice person who wrote it. Where did that nice person learn that information, good information? From some scholar. Where did the scholar learn from? It all goes back to the Anbiya, and all the Anbiya learned from the Prophet. So Prophet is the root of every khair for the entire universe. And he gets the sawab
for every khair. The biggest azim, the biggest and most azim person in his eyes was the one who used to help out the people. The one who helps the people most was the greatest in his eyes. That's how the Prophet was. Not that I break away from the La Rabbaniyat of Islam. In Islam, we don't break away from the... We inqita' from dunya. There's a fine line from breaking away from hubbud dunya, attachment of the temporary world and its temporary belongings. That's a different story. We proudly detach ourselves from the attachments of dunya. There's a fine line between detaching from dunya and detaching from the society. One is wajib to detach from dunya, because hubbud dunya, love of the dunya, is the root of every sin. And one is not allowed in Islam to detach from the society, end up becoming, you know, like Ahbar and Ruhban, those people who used to break away, you know, from some previous religions, used to break away and go to the monasteries or wherever and break away from the society. And they think that's how they can maintain their piety, like breaking away from dunya. How can you maintain your taqwa when you will end up leaving a huge number of wajibat which are connected to the mujtama and society. So you think this is taqwa, that you go into a mountain and keep away from the society? What about all the farais related to the society? People need help. Are you ready to help them? The biggest of the duties are social and political. You are leading all of them. So basically you'll end up doing your infiradi and personal duties only. The leaving more than 90% of the wajibat of Islam are political and social. More than 90%. So somebody who is performing less than 10% of the wajibat has a right to consider himself to be muttaqi at the cost of ignoring more than 90% of the fara'id. But this is how some people are, and that's what they think. The Prophet, in his eyes, the most azeem and great person was the one who used to do mu'awanat, muwasat, helping out, providing assistance, support to the people. Whenever he used to sit or stand up from a gathering, he used to remember Allah. Whenever Prophet used to sit in a gathering, he never used to choose a specific place for him. I mean, you find one spot only and you're always going to sit on that spot, or some special arrangement, there are some better pillows, for example, nicer mattress or nicer chair that you choose for yourself, and the rest of the people are sitting on an inferior chair or inferior spot in the majlis and gathering. This never used to do like this. Instead, Prophet has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَكْرَحْ مِنْ عَبْدِهِ أَنْ يَرَاهُ مُتَمَيِّزًا بَيْنَ أَصْحَابِهِ. Allah finds dislikes from His servant to see His servant. Mutamayyiz means distinguished. People are sitting in somewhere else. For example, I sit on the carpet and I ask all of you to sit here. How weird would that sound? Right? Who am I to sit on the carpet alone and everyone else who is, you know, definitely, you know, I am supposed to consider everyone. I ask everyone to sit. This is very much condemned in Islam. When he used to enter into a gathering, he used to sit at the end of the gathering. There's some people who enter the gathering, they disturb the whole gathering and they necessarily come in the front. What kind of akhlaq is this? You are disturbing 70 people just because you want to sit in one special place. Prophet used to sit at the beginning, at the end of the gathering when he enters. So, wherever the spot was empty, and he finds this empty spot, he used to sit there. The way he used to talk to the people in a gathering, it is narrated that he used to talk in a way that every person present used to think that he dealt with me in a special way, makhsus. That means he used to deal in that akhlaq with everyone. So everyone stood up thinking, Prophet talked to me in a special way. He has a special relation with me. He used to do that with everybody. When somebody used to seek some hajat and need from the Prophet, if he was able to fulfill, he used to fulfill. But if he was unable to fulfill, he used to deal with good akhlaq and give wa'ad or promise towards the person, and the person becomes radi and pleased with that. إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَسَعُ النَّاسَ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ. The hadith says, you people can never fulfill the people's needs with your monies. In other words, فَسَعُوهُمْ بِأَخْلَاقِكُمْ. So you take care of them with your akhlaq. How much money you have? Even if you have millions, you cannot take care of the need of everyone, even with the millions. Isn't it right? So take care of them with your akhlaq. Obviously, if you have more than your needs, then you will give money as well and to support the needy people. But, akhlaq should also be kept in mind. in the gathering of the Prophet, he didn't used to raise his voice. And that was the place where everyone was comfortable receiving adalat and insaf, adil and insaf. So if you want to get justice, go to the Prophet and you'll get the justice. Always used to advise the people about his wasiyat, and advices were always about taqwa. And and dealing the people with tawadu and modesty. If there are elderly people, Prophet used to respect the elderly. Every person, Islamic teachings tell us that consider every elderly person like your father. Every person equal to your age, consider him like your brother. Those who are younger in age, consider them as your children. So, Prophet used to respect the elderly people and give rahm, mercy, shafaqat towards the poor. Some of the times it happened, people from A'rab al-Jahiliyyah, desert dwelling, illiterate people coming to see the Prophet, sometimes talking in a harsh way, insulting way, bad behaviors. Prophet did not reciprocate the bad behavior towards them, never. And and we find that some of the times the ashab and companions were objecting on the person doing the bad behavior. For example, one young man came to the Prophet, and look at the statement of this young man. He said to the Prophet, Khatam al-Mursaleen wa Sayyidul Anbiya wa Ashraful Anbiya. He comes to the Prophet and says, would you allow me to do zina? Like that. There were a bunch of ashab present there, and they started to yell. Some started to, you know, object over him very harshly over that bad statement. Obviously, it's a bad statement. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
For that young man to come to him. And when he came, Prophet said, if somebody does zina towards your mother or your daughter or your sister or ammat and khalat, the sisters of your father, sisters of your mother, are you pleased with that? In other words, he said no. Then Prophet says that the ibad, servants of Allah, consider the servants of Allah, similar to that. That means consider the rest of the people similar to your own, you know, brothers and sisters and mothers and aunts. Or they would also dislike it, what you are doing. And then he put his hand over the chest of this man and said this dua, Allahumma ighfir dhanbahu, O my Lord, forgive his sin, wa tahhir qalbahu, and purify his soul, wa hassin farjahu, and protect his private part. And the narration says that this man was never seen ever going after the woman for zina or, you know, bad thing ever in his life after that dua of the Prophet. In the hadith, because the time is almost less, I'm going to, I had a lot of things in my mind to say tonight, but inshallah I'll try to summarize it. In one of the battles, the daughter of Hatim al-Ta'i, who was a non-Muslim, His daughter was captured as a captive and brought to Medina alongside the rest of the Usara. When she looked at the Holy Prophet, she started to appeal for forgiveness and talked to the Prophet and asked forgiveness. And in her talk, she mentioned to the Prophet that my father, obviously, has died. Halak al-Walid, Wahab al-Wafid. And she says in her talk that my dad was a sakhi person and used to help out every poor man. When Prophet heard that statement from that lady, Prophet says, خَلُّوا عَنْهَا فَإِنَّ أَبَاهَا مِمَّنْ يُحِبُّ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And he set her free, because her father was the one who used to love the makarim al-akhlaq, the exalted morals. So this is how it was. And this narration is narrated by who? Narrated by Uday bin Hatim al-Ta'i. Uday bin Hatim later became a Shia, a Muslim. He converted from Christianity to Islam. And Uday was one of the supporters of Amir Mu'min alayhi salam, and four of his sons, Tarfa and Turayf and Tarif and Atraf. Four of his sons became Shaheed, dying alongside Amir Mu'min alayhi salam in the Battle of Siffin against Muawiyah. So after he became Uday bin Hatim, he became a Shia, he is narrating the whole narration. And he says that when I came to see the Prophet, I was wearing a cross in my neck, chain, a cross, and the way usually. So he said, when I met the Holy Prophet in Medina, he looked at me and he said that, take that idol off your neck. And then I saw the Prophet reading this ayat of Quran, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. They took their scholars as lords, in other words, you know. So he's an Arab, Uday bin Hatim is an Arab, he understands what the Prophet said in this ayat, how he's reciting. So he said, we did not consider our scholars to be Rabb and Lord. Prophet said, when they changed the haram of Allah into halal, did you accept it? In other words, he said yes. This is the meaning of considering them to be your Rabb. Rububiyat stand for the from which person you are taking the do's and do nots of your life. If you take your do's and do-nots from whomsoever, then he is your Rabb. That's the way it works in Islam. This explanation is not in the hadith I am explaining to you. So, this narration which I said right now is from Uday bin Hatim himself, after he becomes a Muslim. So, we find that he used to guide his army men that you're not supposed to kill. He used to guide them not to kill the elderly people, not to kill the women, not to kill the children, not to destroy the plantations, not to root out the trees, not to kill the animals, except if it's a halal meat animal which is needed. In other words, well, that's a different thing. And giving his preference, ta'qib. And yeah, and also he used to say, don't poison the water for the mushrikeen. That was also another common practice in those days, you know, when you go and interact with your opposing fighting army, to make the water poisonous so they can't drink it, or if they drink, they die. Don't make the water poisonous for mushrikeen. Water is something which is in Islamic fiqh, is
perfectly permissible and impossible to be barred or banned on any person or any animal. Even if a person is a Nasibi, you cannot expect somebody worse than Nasibi, isn't it right? The worst is Nasibi, he is unjust, more najis than the kalb.
Even for a Nasibi, you cannot stop him. Imam Ali did not stop water towards the army of Muawiyah and Safin. And never used to attack the enemy in the night time, which was another tradition of Jahiliyyat. And Prophet has said, when one army returns back from the jihad, he said, مَرْحَبَ بِقَوْمٍ قَضَوْا الْجِهَادَ الْأَصْغَرُ وَبَقِيَ عَلَيْهِمْ الْجِهَادُ الْأَكْبَرُ. Welcome to the people who did the lesser jihad, and the bigger jihad remained on them. And they asked, what is the bigger jihad? And Prophet replies, Al-jihad of nafs, fighting against your desire, the desires. And Prophet's beard became white, gray, turned gray very soon. And one of the ashab asked the Prophet, why did your beard become gray that soon? And Prophet replied that the surah of Hud and Al-Waqi'ah and Al-Mursalat and Amma Yatasa'alun made me old. These are the surahs where you find the Ahwal of Yawm al-Qiyamah, situations of the Day of Judgment, and the, some of the punishments, some of the adab which arrived on the previous nations are mentioned. This shows the fear and khawf of Allah. Al-khawfu rafiqi. Didn't he say in his hadith? Al-khawfu rafiqi. Khawf, fear of Allah, was his companion. So this is how he was fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always. So didn't he used to leave a single dirham or dinar in his miras for anyone? No dirham or dinar. No slave. No animals except his camel that which he had for his riding. At the time of his departure, some of the narrations say that he had one zirah, the body armor, as rehn to a Yahudi, because he borrowed 20 sa' of barley for his family. And before I come to the end, in the hadith of Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam, we learn that Allah sent an angel to the Prophet, and the angel said, Allah says salam to you, and if you want, I can convert the desert of Makkah, the entire desert of Makkah, into gold. Prophet looked towards the sky and said, oh my Lord, I want to eat on one day and do your praise and stay hungry on the next day and ask from you. So the faqir, feeling the need towards Allah, this, in another hadith, Prophet says, Al-faqru fakhri wa bihi aftakhiru ala sahir al-anbiya. Faqr means, faqr, we have two kinds of faqr and poverty in ilmul akhlaq. One is al-faqru ilal nas, stretching your hand to the people and begging. This is condemned. This sawadun fil waj. This causes our face to turn dark and black on the Day of Judgment. That's condemned in Islam. And al-faqru ila nas, and we have al-faqru ila Allah, feeling your need towards Allah. We are always needy, but sometimes we stop feeling our need towards Allah. So Prophet always used to feel his need, himself, consider himself to be faqir ila Allah, which is a fakhr. He says it's a matter of pride over the rest of it. His pride over the rest of the Prophets is this fakhr, poverty towards Allah, need towards Allah. And on the occasion of Khandaq,
when the khandaq was being, the trench was being dug up at that time, the narration says Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra salamu alayha brought a piece of bread for the Prophet. Prophet said, "What's that?" And she replied that I had baked the a bread for Hassan and Hussein alayhi wasalam, and a piece of that I brought for you. Prophet was hungry since 3 days, and so Prophet replied back, "Your father it's 3 days that he did not eat anything, in other words, and this is the first food that he's eating." So you find, despite the fact Prophet is hungry for the last 3 days, he's busy in doing his services and his share in all the jihad and all the preparation for all that. So his service, his engagements, his work continued even though he was hungry for the last 3 days. Doesn't affect his activities at all. So we find that before I come to the end of the speech, in the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that Prophet used to say 360 times daily, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Kathiran ala kulli hal. All the praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the universe, a lot, in all the situation, in every situation. 360 times daily, equal to the number of the nerves of the human body. 70 times Prophet used to do istighfar. إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ 70 مَرَّةً. Definitely I do istighfar every day 70 times. This is how Prophet was doing the istighfar without any sin. This is a sinless istighfar. How much he remembers Allah and how much he is connected with Allah. And these are lessons for us to remember Allah and to do the istighfar. I think the time is already over. Inshallah we can do that later on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to understand and to practice the sunnat and the teachings of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Before I come to the end, I would like to recite the short ziyarat of the Holy Prophet, and I request all of you to also repeat this short ziyarat along with me. السلام عليك يا رسول الله ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام عليك يا محمد بن عبد الله السلام عليك يا خيرة الله السلام عليك يا حبيب الله السلام عليك يا صفوة الله السلام عليك يا أمين الله أشهد أنك رسول الله وأشهد أنك محمد بن عبد الله وأشهد أنك قد نصحت لأمتك وجاهدت في سبيله ربك وعبدته حتى أتاك اليقين فجزاك الله يا رسول الله أفضل ما جزى نبيا عن أمته
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad afdala ma sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin wa'khdul al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasr al-Din wa'khdul man khadal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wa'hfad wa'ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin rasim al-Wali al-Faqih qa'id al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur jiyush al-Muslimin wa'asakir al-Muwahidin. Allahumma fukka an al-Basara' al-Muslimin. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه تجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.